And support begins in 3, 2, 1.
Hey everybody, welcome back to another episode of Nurture and Support. This is episode 141, the post Friday the 13th episode. Yay, October.
Yeah, the Friday the 13th in October. Doesn't get any better than that.
So once again, this is Mel at Karmic9.
And this is Kelly at K-E-L-L-Y-T-H-U-L on Twitter.
And if you hear any crashes in the background that I can't edit out, my cats are on a real tear today. So I apologize in advance, though. You might get to hear lots of expletives if I catch myself on fire. So there's that.
And I think it's a distinct, based on the pre-show conversations and noise levels, I think that's a distinct possibility.
Yes, I'm sorry. I can't make them. There's three of them, and they're Hellcats. I can't make them leave. So it's perfect for an October post Friday the 13th show that my cats might kill me on live recording. Anyway, on that uplifting note, I'm going to jump right into my scary October recommendation today. I kind of have a twofer going on this episode. I'm not going to tell you a whole lot about each one of my recommendations, but I'm going to squeeze two different things in there. So I've talked before about Audible books from audible.com. Yes, they are owned by the evil Amazon empire, but I've been a loyal customer since way before Amazon bought them. So Audible's a good company. In case you're not familiar with them, they offer downloadable audiobooks that you can form a subscription plan, and they will automatically charge your credit card and give you credits to use every month. And then you can use them on any book that they have. And audiobooks in particular can be far more expensive than the read with your eyeballs books. So it works out to be a pretty good deal if you like audiobooks. So what I'm going to talk about today are two different franchises that Audible has done an Audible original cast recording of, and it's really pretty cool. These are not typical audiobooks with just one narrator. They have gone in and made an actual cast radio drama type recording of these shows. It's something that Audible seems to be doing more and more lately, and I'm fully on board with it. I like it. So the first one I'm going to talk about, if you know me at all, is one of my favorite franchises out there, Aliens, because I love Aliens. I have a dog named after Ripley, so there you go. This first one is actually called Alien River of Pain, and it's the third book in a canon of Alien books. I haven't read a whole lot of the Alien books, so I'm not sure where it all fits in there. There's a lot of comics, too, that have gotten really popular, and I haven't read all of those. But there are three books out. Audible did an original recording of the first book, and for some reason they skipped the second book and went to the third book. But I'm going to tell you why. I'm going to tell you particularly about the third book. Is because it's sort of a prequel to the movie Aliens. It takes place between Alien and Aliens on LV-426, aka Hadley's Hope, aka they renamed it in this story Archeron, which is also River of Pain. So who do we know that's on Hadley's Hope from the Aliens movie?
The wrecked spaceship, right?
Yes, and our favorite little child character, Newt.
Oh, yes. Yes.
Who says they only come at night, mostly. So anyway, because this takes place before Aliens, it's like directly right before Aliens, and it overlaps with some of the special edition Aliens footage of Ripley having her meetings after she's found. And trying to get her to come to Hadley's Hope. It deals a little bit more of that, but also feeds into some of those special edition extra scenes that were added into Aliens. So if you're not old enough to have ever seen the original Aliens theatrical movie, you've probably only ever seen the special edition with the added scenes in it. So you don't know what I'm talking about, but that's okay. So they cut those scenes in there. Those are happening concurrently as they're telling the story on Hadley's Hope or LV-426 of how Newt is born. It all deals with her family life. Something I wasn't really previously aware of, which I guess was dealt with in some of the comics, is there were some Marines stationed at LV-426 before the Aliens movie. And so we all know what happens if you've seen, spoiler here, if you've seen Aliens, you know that the aliens take over Hadley's Hope and kill everybody but Newt. And then Ripley and the other Marines show up and, you know, try to stay alive long enough to get off the planet. So
game over, man. Game over.
Game over. Yes. Aliens is one of the most quotable movies ever, and I love it so much. So I really, really, really enjoyed this dramatization of this particular book. The book itself was written by Christopher Golden, and it was adapted by Dirk Maggs for Audible. He did Neverwhere and Hitchhiker's Guide for BBC, the dramatization of that for those. He's done a bunch of this stuff for Audible. He's also done the next one I'm going to talk about as well. What was cool about Alien River of Pain is they had a really, really good cast. And the lady that does Ripley, she is a spot on Ripley. You have to look up to make sure that it's not Sigourney Weaver doing this voice. And it's not Sigourney Weaver. It's a voice actor named Laurel Lefkow. She played the voice of Ripley in the first Alien one, Out of Shadows, as well. That one was good as well, if you want to check it out, but isn't dealing with familiar territory like this one is. Also, one of the other actors that you would probably know from it played the captain of the Marines, Colin Salmon, and he was in Resident Evil. He was in Alien versus Predator. He was not in the Aliens movie, but he's great, and I love him and everything he does. And so when I heard his voice, I was very happy. And who could forget Lieutenant Gorman, the lieutenant of the Marines that Ripley comes to LV-426 with, who is totally incompetent. He is played by William Hope, who reprises his role as Lieutenant Gorman in this audiobook. So it's really fun. It is very psychologically suspenseful. There's a lot of action, a lot of the familiar sound effects, you know, if you're a fan of the Aliens movies, and particularly Aliens, and the games. They took a lot of the sound effects out of one of the Alien games, I believe. So it's a lot of fun. And it, given that it's October, it's scary and suspenseful, even though you really kind of know how things are going to end. You get the added bonus of there being some evil scientists that have been on the colony working for Weyland-Yutani, the evil corporation of the Aliens universe. And it's a lot of fun. So I really recommend it. It was really worth the credit that I spent on it. And it's only about 5 hours. And it was really enjoyable. I enjoyed it a lot. Excuse me. So I recommend, if you like Aliens and you'd like to know a little bit more about what happened on LV-426 before Ripley showed up, take a listen, because it was really a lot of fun, a lot of action, a lot of crazy aliens and facehuggers. So it was cool. So my second part of this recommendation is another Audible original drama of another franchise that, if you know me, you know I love. It's X-Files. So, comments, Kelly?
No, good. So no. I wouldn't have. X-Files was, I knew you're a fan. That's a surprise. Aliens, not so much a surprise. Yes. From there. And I'm just crossing my fingers that somehow Vince Gilligan's involved. But
No, not to my knowledge. There was no Vince Gilligan involvement that I know of. But Audible has actually adapted 2 X-Files, quote unquote, audiobooks that are based on the comics. And the first one is called X-Files Cold Cases, and then the second one is called X-Files Stolen Lives. Great part of this is that a whole lot of the original cast is doing the voice acting. So you've got Gillian Anderson, David Duchovny, Mitch Pileggi is back as Skinner. And then you've got the lone gunmen all reprise their roles. If you're an X-Files fan, you know who they are. And of course, fan favorite, the cigarette smoking man, William B. Davis, is in both Cold Cases and Stolen Lives. So what these are episodes of the comics that they have dramatized and put into two editions of an audio drama. And they're really, really very good. Cold Cases starts off a little slow, but really picks up towards the end. And it continues the main storyline with the aliens and the black oil. And you find out a little bit more about what's going on there. And you have a return of fan favorite character, Alex Krycek. I don't know if you were a fan of Alex Krycek, Kelly, but I was a big fan of Alex Krycek.
You're going to have to go that one alone.
Okay. I loved Alex Krycek. He was great. I loved it when he was in episodes. But one of the scarier TV episodes, the Fluke Man episode, they have a continuation, so there's more Fluke Man in here. So it's really pretty cool. I enjoyed Stolen Lives a little bit more than Cold Cases. Like I said, Cold Cases started off a little bit slow, but really picked up towards the end. And then Stolen Lives was a little bit more of the creature feature type stories, but it did in the end continue along a little bit more in the main storyline to give you a little bit more of that. So it's really, really a lot of fun. I enjoyed it. Well worth the listen. Both of the X-Files ones come in at about 4 hours apiece, so they're good fun. I do recommend, though, that you listen to them in order. So check out Cold Cases before you listen to Stolen Lives, because you really kind of need some of the background from Cold Cases to understand some of the stuff that's going on in Stolen Lives. But those are two franchises that are very popular that Audible has continued in an radio drama type style that I think people would enjoy. So I thought I would share them, given that they're all kind of scary. Yeah. So, anybody want some cats? Anyway. Yeah. Go listen to the X-Files while I murder some cats. But it's October, y'all. It's almost Halloween. Everybody needs some cats to wreck their lives around Halloween. It's a tradition. So that's my recommendation for this week, is some good old Audible original dramas, Alien River of Pain, and then X-Files Cold Cases and X-Files Stolen Lives. A lot of fun. A little bit scary. Yeah. Lots of fun.
Sound good. I think I'll start with the Aliens ones, but they both sound really cool. Very cool.
I really enjoyed the Alien ones, especially if you're a big fan of the Aliens movie, like I am. I can, you know, dream that movie. I know the whole thing. So I have the action figures.
There you go.
So
gotten a few Alien-esque things from Loot Crate over the years. A nice plushy stuffed face hugger, which is pretty cool with a rubber band if you wanted to actually apply it to your face. Yep. And then more of some Funko, kind of the Funko-ish Alien, which is kind of cool. So those have been good. Always worth diving into that world.
Yes.
Very cool. Well, I'm going to stay with the more traditional singular recommendation for mine. I only have one. And it's a bit of a guilty pleasure. I think you all know by now that I'm a bit of a fan of documentaries and these types of things. So this isn't so much a documentary as kind of a history series, background on something, and it's actually background on ancient Rome. It's a Netflix series. It's 14 episodes long. Each episode runs 48 minutes, and it's called The Secrets of Ancient Rome. There's been a lot of stuff out on the Colosseum, Rome, etc. I have found this to be so jam-packed, full of information, presented in the most approachable fashion everywhere. We're going to come back to that approachable fashion in a moment, but it is done very much in plain language. So I've seen numerous shows where they discuss kind of the various kinds of gladiators and and these types of things. They do a whole section on the whole gladiator structure, which types of gladiators came first, which ones fought each other, how it all worked out, what different paths were for that. But it's done all in a very kind of simple and straightforward way. The hosts of it are Sean Patrick Lovett and Sylvia Rubino. And it's very, very hard to find supporting information on the secrets of ancient Rome beyond the Netflix entry. If you go into Google, you can find, yes, it's on Netflix and there's 14 episodes and that's about it. You can't find anything on Sean Patrick. You can't find really much, although Sylvia Rubino does have an IMDb page. It's pretty sparse. I think, based on some of my research for this show, I'm fairly certain that Sean Patrick Lovett is actually also the English language director of Vatican Radio. So I think, based on what I've been able to tell, watching some videos of him and then kind of going back to it, I think they're the same person. I'll be really embarrassed if they're not, but I think they're the same person. But there's not really a whole lot of supporting information to tell you the backstory. They interact. He's the professor, and she's kind of the ditzy companion along with it, very free-spirited, certainly a little bit of an Italian accent to her. She's fun. It gets pretty silly every once in a while in terms of some of their interplay. They go to segments that are called the Impossible Interview, where they go back and they're interviewing different gladiators or historical figures, and it's like they've got a, you know, he's got a headset and they're in split screen and the other person's talking to them and answering in Latin and it's being translated. There's a translator speaking and I don't know of the spaghetti of which you speak of. Tell me more. And these types of things. And so there's a lot of hokiness to some of it. And the little graphical interludes that they have as they kind of have fun facts and all of those feel a little clip-arty. They're not really highly evolved. So it's not a highly polished thing, but it's really kind of well done. It is quirky as all get out in terms of in one of these interviews, he's having the interview kind of having sort of a toga on and recognizes it while he's having an interview. And you can kind of tell, ooh, that's wrong. So he takes the toga off. And then a little bit later, a camera guy comes in with a vest for him to wear. And he's kind of arguing with the camera guy about the vest. And you don't really quite understand how that fits into the interview and the things going on, but it's just like a lot of little fun things going on. But they just barrage you with a lot of really good information and then just kind of mix it in with some general silliness here and there in between the sections, which is good. You get kind of a breather. It's all delivered again in a really good way. Little fun facts, wages, what was highly important in the early days of Rome was salt. Salt served a lot of purposes. It was actually typically half of your pay, as you would be paid in coin and salt. And salare, which I believe is the Italian word for salt, is the root for the word salary. Or when you talk about somebody being worth their salt, this is kind of where some of this stuff comes from. So it's just all kinds of fun little tidbits like that they kind of go forward with. They have an episode around the eating habits and what were common recipes and the kind of approaches there, the types of bread the different classes ate. I said they've done things on, they had one on the aqueducts and kind of covered a lot of the process around how they were made, what were some of the considerations on it, what some of the issues that came up later with them. And so it is really loaded with a lot of in-depth material. There is silliness. You'll have to kind of occasionally wait through as they kind of cover the theater and they're kind of explaining how the theater worked and how theaters were set up. Sylvia is really over the topping it about, I want to be an actor and just these kinds of silly things on the stage. But it's kind of endearing and it doesn't distract much from the rest of the story. They have a nice interplay between the two of them. So there's humor. There's a lot of information. It's fun. As I mentioned, they run 48 minutes. You get so much out of it. It feels, and I don't mean this in a bad way, but it feels longer. I mean, in terms of when you kind of say, wow, I got all this information. I was making the assumption because I never really looked. I said, oh, these must run like an hour and 15 or an hour 20. And they were all 48 minutes long. So they cover a lot of ground. So again, it's not a kind of painful, when's this thing going to be over, but it's just a lot of stuff is covered. And it's just, here's another section. Here's another section. The interviews are kind of interesting and fun. They come into other little fun facts. They are filming on location quite a bit obviously. And so you get all the information about bathhouses and public restrooms and how that worked and all of those fun things. And the fact that the original, most houses in Rome did not have restrooms in the house. You needed to go use the public restrooms for that, but they weren't free. You had to pay. So if you were poor, then you went over and used some of the stuff near where they did the wash, because some of what you were going to leave had ammonia in it, and that was handy for wash. And so it's all very interesting from there. But they kind of show it all. It was odd, though, that while the restrooms you had to pay for, the public bathhouses became free. And anyone, all the classes, men and women, everybody was able. There was no distinction, where there were many distinctions typically. And that what I assumed is everyone in Italy and Rome could drink wine. Turns out you needed to be over 30 to drink wine. And male. So these were some of, in the early days, these were some of the rules that they had.
Jerks.
So yeah. Not supportive of that position by any stretch, but it's just fascinating. So it's a fun little history thing. I've always been kind of fascinated by that time, and they cover a lot of territory on any particular topic they cover. They go into pretty good depth. It's a fun deal. It's 14 episodes. It's kind of a cool thing. You'll get the sense right on the first one, the tone that will kind of carry through very consistently through the rest of it. So you can decide to what your silliness tolerance level is, because there's gonna be some of that. But it's all done in good fun, and these are obviously knowledgeable. It's the only minor frustration I have with it is he introduces every show in Latin, and the credits are in Latin as well, in terms of the categories of, so cast, which I assume is con, C-O-N, in Latin. Mm-hmm. Their names are listed under con, but they give you no break. It's all, they have, you get a pretty good dose of Latin in it. Cool. So, but it's fun. So it's called The Secrets of Ancient Rome. It is on Netflix, and highly recommend giving it a look if you want to kind of learn a little more about Rome and be entertained.
Is it a Netflix original, or is it from someplace else? Do you remember?
It seems to be BBC related, okay, potentially, although I haven't really seen the typical kind of BBC flagging of it. I think it was somehow circulated in Britain first. Because there were, as I kind of desperately continued to search for more and more information around any other background I could get on this for us to talk about it, I just saw a lot of questions about, hey, is this ever going to come to American Netflix? So I think it was on England's Netflix for some time, and it finally has made its way here. It was it's credited to be filmed in 2015, so it's really not that old. Mm-hmm. In terms of that, but I think it made its way over from England in terms of Netflix. So it's not a Netflix original, but it looks like more of an import.
Yeah, cool. Nice. I always liked Rome. I took several classes on ancient civilizations in school. Of course, that was almost an ancient civilization ago. But hey, I like that. I'll have to check it out. So I think that takes us to social media, which I have none.
So mine's just, it's a cleanup, because I don't think we've ever recommended following Marvel on the show that I know of.
I don't think so.
It's a good follow, folks. So my recommendation is follow Marvel at Marvel, M-A-R-V-E-L. And I think you know what they do. it's a good account to follow to keep track of all their different things. And since I don't believe we've recommended it on Nurture and Support as a follow, I just thought I'd throw my recommendation over this week is Marvel.
All right. Yeah, I don't know if I follow them. I may not. I rely on my fellow nerds to tell me things many times.
It's pretty handy. Pretty timely, typically.
Oh, cats. Cats. Cats are evil, in case anyone didn't know that. My cats are evil. So we're going to turn it over to Matt, and I don't know if we have anything evil to say about Matt this week. I don't.
Nah, not this way. No, not this week. I can't. I'm trying to kind of come up with something, and I'm drawing a blank this week. So we'll just. Why don't you hand it, since I usually hand it over to Matt, and it doesn't go well. Why don't we give those duties to you for today?
All right. Well, since I was talking about so many voice actors today, we'll turn it over to our resident voice actor, Matt Shivers, who was so kind as to do our outro and to tell everybody where they can find us online and email that we possibly check occasionally and all of those cool things. So we're going to turn it over to Matt right now. Bye, everybody.
Thanks for listening.
I hate cats.
You can contact us on our website, nurtureandsupport.net, or email us at nurtandsup@gmail.com. That's nurtandsupp@gmail.com. Or tweet us at nurtandsup on Twitter.
Nurturing and supporting giants.